So when God looks at us and says, you are, he's labeled you. He has just told you who you are in God. What he wants for us is that we would live according to what he has called us, not what the world tells us about us.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, Living on Purpose. This is chapter 3 on the series called The Foundation That Does Not Fall. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
One of the things that completely turned my life around as a confused and troubled teenager was the realization that I was not the result of some cold, indifferent evolutionary process. Rather, God had made me and there was a purpose for my life. Jesus never called anyone without revealing purpose. He told his disciples, "Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." He told Peter, "You're going to be as strong and stable as a rock." Jesus imparted purpose. So in part 3 of our Foundation That Doesn't Fall series, I'm going to be sharing about divine purpose and how it relates to you. So let's jump right into part 2 of the message, Living on Purpose.
Now, he referred to this period in his life as under the sun. Everybody say under the sun. Now, he said this and that under the sun. Under the sun, I saw this, and under the sun, I saw that. What does under the sun mean? Under the sun simply means life without God. Under the sun, it means I'm not looking up, but I'm under the sun. I'm looking this way. I'm doing life this way. There's no vertical uplook. There is only a horizontal outlook. I'm doing life without God. That's what under the sun means. And here's what he found when he went his own way. Listen to these words. Nothing is worthwhile. Everything is futile. For what does a man get for all his hard work? In other words, what's it all been for? He goes on. Everything is unutterably weary and tiresome. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. That's the words of somebody living in the flesh, because the flesh is never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. Listen to those words, futile, weary, tiresome, never satisfied, not content, under the sun. When I walked away from God and got out of his purpose for me and pursued ambition and not purpose, that's what I reaped. But then he goes on. During this time of drifting, he openly tells us he tried everything the world had to offer. Listen to this. I decided to try the road of drink. Can I just say it bluntly? He started getting drunk. Solomon. I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. Next, I changed my course again and followed the path of folly. Anything I wanted, I took. Boy, I'll tell you, that's the way some people I know. Anything I want, I take. Ever live that way? Anything I wanted, I took, and I did not restrain myself from any joy. But as I looked at everything I had tried, it was also useless, a chasing of the wind, and there was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. And that's the testimony of somebody living detached from God. Powerful. That's the harvest that he reaped after chasing selfish ambition instead of divine purpose. But on the other hand, Jesus said to those of us who want to follow him, how many of you in here are in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ? You want to follow Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and you want to go after him. Now, here's what Jesus said to those who want to follow him. He said, if anybody desires to come after me, let him deny himself, including selfish ambition, take up his cross daily, and follow me. As Christians, we're called to crucify anything that stands in opposition to God's purpose for us, including selfish ambition. We're to run our ambitions through the sifter of God's will, and if our ambitions line up with what he wants for us, then they're fine, as long as they're submitted to God. But if they're not submitted to God, then we give up ambition for divine purpose. Amen? Now, you might be thinking, Jeff, I want to walk in purpose. I really do. But I can't figure out God's will for my life. I don't know what His will for me is. What is God's will for me? I'm glad you asked me, because Jesus gives the answer. How many of you want to know God's will for your life? I'm about to tell you right now. As a matter of fact, it's going to hit everybody in here who knows Jesus. There's not a person in here who is a Christian for whom this is not God's will. I'm going to tell you God's will for your life. He says, first, I want you to deal with how you see yourself. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us some things about ourselves. He identifies us. I hate to say He labels us, but He gives us an identity that is from heaven and not earth. He said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Now, there He's telling us not how we see ourselves, but how God sees us. Now, let me tell you what will change your life. When you see you the way God sees you. See, your life changes when you see you the way He sees you and not the way the world views you or labels you. We've got to let God give us our identity, not the world, not the mirror, but God. We need to let God give us our identity. So when God looks at us and says, you are, then we need to listen real, real close, because He's telling us the way heaven sees us. You are. Everybody say, I am. So He's labeled you. He has just told you who you are in God. What He wants for us is that we would live according to what He has called us, not what the world tells us about us. You know, have you ever noticed the world will always define you down? The world will always define you down. The world will tell you that you're not smart enough, not good looking enough, not sharp enough, not talented enough, not this, not that. People are mean and people are cruel, and they'll step all over you if you let them. And many, many times, not always, but many times, the world will define you down. But let me tell you what Jesus does. He defines you up in this way. He gives you heaven's view of you, not the world's. So He says, you are. You are the light of the world. You are. He's not saying you might be. He's not saying I pray that you become that. He says, you are the light. You are the salt. You are. So I got to live as a called person. Everybody say, live as a called person. That's the first thing Sermon on the Mount teaches me, because He tells us who we are early on in His message. Matthew 5, He says, you are. So, I'm to live as a called person. Not just any person, but I live as a called person. Let me ask you, do you think that way about you? When you get up in the morning, do you see yourself as a called person? Do you see yourself that way? You say, well, Jeff, you're called. You're up there preaching. No, I'm called to be a preacher. Yes, I'm called a pastor, but you're as called as me. I'm going to say it again. You're as called as me. You're a called person. Now, let me prove it to you. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Now, watch this. Jesus says, we're chosen. We're chosen. See, we didn't wake up and have a brilliant idea to go and find Jesus. You know, we go out and tell people, I found the Lord yesterday. No, you didn't. The Lord found you. He tracked you. He followed you. He pressured you. With most of us, He backed us into a corner. And He showed us our need for Him. And then He convicted us of sin. And then He said, the way out is to the cross. Go to my cross and the bloodshed will cover your sins. And I've got a brand new life for you. And so when we get saved, we didn't find Him. He found us. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you. The word chosen is so powerful. It means a highly deliberate choice with a definite outcome in mind. A deliberate choice with an outcome in mind. When He saved you, He called you, He chose you with something in His mind for you. Not just heaven, although that's great, but there's more than heaven. He said, I chose you that you would go and bring forth fruit. I got something for you on earth. I've left you here for a reason. I could take you out anytime, but you're still here for a reason. So he says, I chose you. It was a highly deliberate choice, and I had an outcome in mind. You were on his mind before he was ever on your mind. And in the same sentence, he also said, we're appointed, and that means to be set or placed in a particular location. So let me just put these two together and tell you what we're just told by Jesus. Every believer is chosen and appointed by him to a particular station in life with a definite outcome in mind. I'm going to read that again. It's so good. Every believer, you, is chosen and appointed by him to a particular station in life with a definite outcome in mind. It doesn't matter where you are or what you do. You may be a plumber or a lawyer, a doctor or a trash collector, blue collar or white collar, rich or poor, educated or not. It does not matter, because he's not talking here about vocation. He's talking about location. He's telling us, I have called you and chosen you right where you are. And I want you to live out my purpose for you in your sphere, in your orbit, in your world. I want you to live out my purpose for you, because I've chosen you with an outcome in mind. And I'm about to tell you that outcome in just a moment. So when you go to work as a called person. When you go bowling on a Friday night, you go as a called person. When you go on vacation to the beach, you go as a called person. There's no vacation from God. When you sit home watching the baseball game, you're sitting there as a called person. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself that way? Because to be on the rock, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. He said, you're the light of the world, salt of the earth. He said that in Sermon on the Mount. That's one of the sayings. If you do it, then you're on the rock. And part of it is to realize I'm a called person. I'm a called person. I am a called person. Look in the mirror and say, you're called, buddy. You're called, ma'am. God's hand is on you. We're not called on Sunday and not on Monday. We're called 24/7, 365 days a year. The hand of God is on us with a purpose in mind in the location we find ourselves. His hand is on us. We are people of a divine assignment. I'm under assignment. I've got an assignment. I'm fulfilling part of my assignment right now. But it's not just up here. It's when I come down off of here. Because I live Monday through Saturday just like you do. I'm called then too. Amen. Now you're probably saying, well, Jeff, if I'm called for a purpose, then what's the purpose? Well, number one is to see yourself as a called person. But here is what you're called to do. Are you ready? Listen. To be fruitful. You're called to be fruitful. You have not chosen me. I chose you that you should go and bring forth fruit that sticks. Fruitful. Now, there's only two kinds of fruitfulness available. Inward, outward. Now, we understand the inward because the Bible says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit within our lives. Then he names it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So how do you produce that fruit? He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You just got to hang there. On an apple tree, what are those apples doing? They're just plugged into the right vine. They're just hanging. Jesus said, you got to abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bring forth much fruit. He told us in Sermon on the Mount, if you hear and do, if you hear it and then do it, if you hear it and live it out, then you will bear much fruit within. Within. Doesn't happen overnight, does it? I'm loving. Definitely, I love people more now than I did 5 years ago. But it comes slow, doesn't it? Patience. The only thing I don't like about patience is waiting for it. You just got to hang there. And if you're plugged into the right vine, then what is in Jesus is put into you. You're grafted into him. So he says, if you abide in me and you're always in my word and my words are abiding in you and you're hearing and doing them, you will, over time, love more, have more joy, have more peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things will grow within you. But then there's also growing without. That is producing fruit without. And that means reaching others with the good news of Jesus. Now listen carefully to me, because this is so important. God never called us to be a world apart from that world. In this respect, we're not to lock our Christianity in four walls and be spiritual on Sunday and worldly on Monday. Jesus said, I've sent you to bring forth fruit. Now, they understood completely when they heard those words that he not only meant fruit within, but he meant reaching others, influencing others, impacting others with Jesus out here. Follow this line of thought. Have you ever stopped to think, everything that is alive reproduces? Only dead things don't reproduce. Living things reproduce. And you know what they reproduce? After their kind. That's the law of Genesis. God said over and over again, I've given you fruit-bearing trees, and he names all of the vegetation and all the life that he created. After every one of them, he said, they will produce after their kind. So pears don't produce tomatoes. Birds don't produce porcupines. You will only reproduce after your kind. Now, let me ask you, are Christians alive? Come on, are they alive? Yeah, are you alive? Because he called you from death to life, from lost to found, from blind to sight, from hellbound to heavenbound. He called you out of spiritual death into life. He made us alive in him, Ephesians says. So watch this now. If I'm alive, I ought to be reproducing after my kind. I ought to be reproducing Christians. Let me ask you, when you were in sin, living in sin, gave yourself over to sin, fully enjoyed your sin, did you lead others to go into sin with you? In other words, did you reproduce after your kind? Yes, you did. But now that he has called us from death to life, he says, now as you were reproducing death upon death upon death, now I want you to reproduce life. I want you to reproduce me in others, and that's part of the fruit bearing. Everywhere we go, we are to sow seed. I've got these beautiful purple flowers in my backyard. I planted them. But here's what I found. It blew me away. I planted them way over here. But then one day I walked out, and there's some purple flowers growing up way over here. I go, wait a minute, I wasn't over there. I had to question myself at first. I didn't plant anything over there. I did it over here. How did that get over here? And then I thought, well, of course, Jeff, the wind blew and grabbed the seed, carried the seed across my yard, and sowed it. And those purple flowers reproduced after their kind. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit is in you. And you've got a seed bag right here. Remember Johnny Appleseed? You've got a seed bag right here, and it's called the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And everywhere you go, as a believer, you're to sow it. And you know when you sow it? When the wind blows. You're sitting there, and God says, I want you to talk to that person about me. And suddenly the Spirit of God is there, and the wind blows. And the wind wants to grab that seed and carry it into the soul of that person. And lo and behold, down the road, you run into them again, and they have been changed. Something has happened to them because you sowed the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and you reproduced life. I was sitting with a friend of mine, used to work for me, and he was in ministry for a number of years, and now he's in secular work, and we had lunch, and he told me this story. He said, Jeff, you know, I've learned everywhere I go, God just wants me to let him out. He just wants me to let him out. And so I said, well, tell me what you mean by that. And he said, well, when I was in ministry, I thought that the place that I was supposed to sow the seed and let my light shine was from the stage. And so I would sow the seed from the stage. I would preach the Word of God, touch people from the stage. But he said, now that I'm out here in secular work, I realize the whole world is my stage. And he said, I was in a store. I was in a clothing store just a couple of weeks ago. He said, I'm trying on shirts. He said, I've been losing a lot of weight, and I have to get new clothes. So I'm in there getting new clothes. And this little gal was waiting on me, and I was getting some shirts and stuff, and all of a sudden the wind blew. And the Holy Spirit said to me, now this is kind of unusual, but this is what happened. Holy Spirit said to me, tell her that the daughter she's been praying to return home is soon going to be home. Now he said, I didn't know this woman from Adam. I didn't know that she had a daughter or not. It was like God gave me this knowing about her. And so I thought, no, that's just my imagination. And he said, I started to leave, and I got all the way to the exit door, and the Holy Ghost said, let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Jack in the box. Let me out. Thank you. Let me out. And so he went back and she was gone and she had gone on break. So he asked the girl, he said, where is she on break? Well, she's over there. Well, can you go get her? I got something to say to her. So the woman came up to him and he said, I love Jesus, ma'am. And I hope I don't offend you by this, but he said to me to tell you, the daughter you've been praying for is soon going to come home. And she looked at him and tears welled up in her eyes. How did you know that? He told me. He left. A few weeks later, him and his wife went back, and that little gal came running up to him and said, my daughter came home. Now listen, everywhere you go, I want everybody to say with me, let him out. See, what did Jesus do in this world? When he was here, what did he do? You didn't find him locked away in synagogues all the time. He wasn't always in the church building. What was he accused of? Being with publicans, being with sinners, being around the prostitutes, being around down and outers and up and outers. He was always out there in the culture, not in the church house. And what did he do? He always approached people and he reproduced life because he was the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And everybody he touched was changed. Has he changed? I'm asking you, has Jesus changed? He's the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. Well, if he's the same, then by the Holy Ghost, he's in you. And being in you, he wants to do exactly what he did when he was here because he hasn't changed. So all the time, I want you to start thinking, when I'm out there in the culture, I'm at a restaurant, I'm at my place of employment, I'm talking to a next door neighbor, I'm just doing life. Remember, he chose you and put you in a location with a definite intent in mind that you would bring forth fruit. Not just in here, but out here. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be attractive. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be any of those things. You've got a testimony. A testimony just comes from somebody who has seen something. You're a witness. What have you seen? Well, I've seen that when I let Jesus into my heart, he changed my life. You know, all you got to do is tell somebody that. I tell waitresses all the time. I talk to them all the time. You look for a handle. You look for a trigger. You look for an opening. And I just simply say something like, do you go to church somewhere? Or do you ever listen to the radio? I'm on the radio. Is there anything I can pray with you about? That's a great one. And you open the door and the wind blows. And the seed that's in you goes into ground. And you reproduce life.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877 888-384-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled, Think Like Jesus, in this series called The Foundation That Does Not Fall. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you here again on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.